Now, those of you who are adults might like to open your Bibles to page 1042, Luke chapter 10. Girls and boys, ladies and gentlemen, the story we're looking at this morning is one of the best known stories which Jesus told, the story of the Good Samaritan. The phrase Good Samaritan is one which people use now in England, certainly. We know about the Samaritans, don't we, who help people. It's a word which has come into lots of use. Most people know what it means. Now, here's the first question for you this morning, because the story begins with an expert in the law. That's in the Old Testament books of the Bible. An expert in the law coming up to Jesus. And he asked Jesus a question. Can anybody remember what the question was? The first question the expert in the law asked. Anybody remember? There must be somebody who remembers. Otherwise, I'd ask Steve Wookie. Yes, Rory. Thank you very much. He says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And it's a very good question, isn't it? It's a good question for us whether we're young or whether we're old. It's a good question. In fact, it is the supreme question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And it's a good question, even if that man who asked the question was trying to catch Jesus out and to test him. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And you know, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, it was a question which in those days people were asking, just as they're asking our day. What must I do to inherit eternal life? To have life now in a relationship with God and life forever. And it's a question we'll all ask if we're wise. It is a supreme question. You may think exam questions are important, and they are on one level. But this is the most important question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Let me ask Diane Baird to come and help me. Because I want you to notice, first of all, this morning, that in this story, a clever debate is going on. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answers the question the man asked with two more questions, and he pins the man down on his specialist subject. And Jesus says to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And who can remember, what does the teacher of the law say when he's asked what's written in the law? Can anybody remember that? Any young people remember? Yes, thank you. Brilliant. Absolutely quoted properly. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You see, this man, this lawyer, knows the answer to the question. He quotes from the Old Testament, from the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. He crystallizes the Ten Commandments very clearly. Just as Jesus gave a similar summary when he was asked that question elsewhere. And Jesus said to that man, "You have answered correctly." And he says, "Do this and you will live." Now look at the ladder, will you, all of you? Up there, Diane, you can put that down for a moment. But stay there, thank you. There we have a ladder. There's God's name at the top, God. And I've put God's name against white there. Because, of course, God is absolutely holy. He's pure. He hates wrong things. He hates evil things. And God is somebody who hates sin. His standards are 100%. 10 out of 10 are the standards he demands. Let's see how some well-known people would measure up to God. Now, who's hiding around? I wanted somebody who likes rugby. Did I see one of the Turner boys around there? Let's have one of the Turner boys out. Great. Come and help me. Pick a bit of paper. I know you're a keen follower of rugby. I think we need Steve Wookie at the stage as well to come help. Right. Do you want to pick a bit of paper there? The top one? Right. Can you hold it up so everybody can see it? Just turn round to the congregation. Will Carling. Now, Will Carling is quite a good player. He went to a good university at Durham. He's the England captain. And he's certainly a very good team leader. Let's get... What do you think of Will Carling? Just tell me about his standard and rugby and so on.
He's a good player, good captain.
Good captain, there you are. Will Carling, a good captain, a good player. That's brilliant. Thank you very much indeed. Let's give this to Steve to put on to the... So you can go and grab a seat again. Right, let's have somebody else. Who would consider themselves musical here? Noel Trudinic, possibly? Noel, come out here, will you, and help me. Just check you pick the right one. Do you want to pick the one over here? I think it's that one there. That one there. Let's just check. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Oh, hold on. No, that's the one. I was right all along. Thank you very much. Will you hold it up? Now, tell the friends what you know about Cliff Richard.
Pardon, sir?
Tell us what you know about him.
All right. He's just recently been knighted.
Yep, Sir Cliff Richard.
Sir Cliff Richard. For services not just to the entertainment industry, but for Tear Fund and raising lots of money and giving lots of money to overseas aid.
So Cliff Richard is somebody who you think, you know, yes, he's done quite well, hasn't he? He's indeed a Christian man, but he's tried to help people as he can. In fact, I can tell you a secret. The rector went to Wimbledon on Friday, and he had was given tea by Cliff Richard on the centre court, not the centre court, but nearby the centre court. It was the rector's day off, I should tell you. Great. Cliff Richard, he's somebody who you'd have thought has done quite well, wouldn't you? So Cliff Richard, let's give that to Steve. Thanks, Noel. Can you put that on for the ladder somewhere? Let's put it halfway up, the next one up. That's well done. Great. Now let's have somebody else. Let me have some... Yes, you can help me there. Yes, come and help me. Thank you. Junior. Now, do you want to take that and just hold it up to everybody so they can see it? Now, what does that say on it? Mary Curry. Now, do you know who Mary Curry is? She's not a medical helper exactly, but she is a church warden here. Now, Mary Curry is somebody who is incredibly helpful. Whenever I'm in a corner, she always helps me. If my admin's going to a pot, she tells me and reprimands me in a nice way. And lots of us have enjoyed her hospitality in different ways. Now, you'd think that Mary Curry was perhaps doing quite well. Steve, where should we put Mary Curry on there, do you think? Thank you very much. Thank you. Steve thinks above Cliff Richard. Right, so let's have Mary Curry up there. Now, I want a younger girl. Is there anybody else going to choose me out here? Sophie, you can help me. Great, thank you. Now, check I get the right one. Right, now could you hold that up so everybody can see it? Now, there's a name you probably know, Jonah Lomu, who, of course, is a Polynesian, but plays for New Zealand. He is somebody who is a Christian believer. He runs incredibly fast, doesn't he? He's just about unstoppable. Did you know he's a rugby player? You did. Well done. Excellent. Now, John Gallagher, just come and help us on Jonah Lomu. Just tell us about his style and anything else we should know. I see you sitting there looking very sporting this morning.
Well, Jonah Lomu is he's even bigger than Steve Wookie, but he runs probably three times as fast as Steve. Five times as fast, and I, for one, wouldn't like to be in the way of him, and I don't think many on the England team liked it either.
Thank you very much. And certainly people know he's a Christian. He's somebody who tries to serve Christ as well as playing rugby. Thank you very much, both of you. Let's put that one up now. Let's put that one down here. Now, I need one more volunteer. Yes, you can come help me. Thank you. What's your name? Farid. Right, now, let's hold this one up. Could you hold that up so everybody can see? Yes, let's tip it around both sides. You can see on the left and the right. Great, thank you very much. Can anybody tell me who Mother Teresa is, what she's done? Anybody going to help me on that? Any of the girls and boys know? She is probably one... Yes, thank you. She's a nun, that's right. What did she do as a nun? That's right, a place far, far away. She was working in Calcutta, wasn't she? She tells a story once about how she found a woman in a dustbin, and the woman said, "My son did this to me." And there's lots of orphan children, others, who she's helped over years. She's somebody who probably is known around the world for being loving, a follower of Christ, and ever so helpful. Now, where should we put her? Thank you very much. Let's let Steve decide. You below Will Carling, or? No room below, right? Let's go a bit further up. Great, thank you very much. There we are, a number of different characters. Yeah, Will Carling, Jonah Lomu, Cliff Richard, Mary Curry, Mother Teresa. Now, the problem is that they're all a long way away from God's standard, aren't they? None of them have lived up to it. The commandment which Jesus had quoted to him was this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Now, girls and boys, I haven't done that this week. I'm an Anglican clergyman, but I've not loved God with everything like I should have done. Embarrassingly, I had to go recently take a funeral, and I had to get my car, and I know I was going to pass lots of people on the street who sleep out on the street, and there's a Roman Catholic minister near me who's always being stopped by them. They say, "Father, Father, give me some money." And I deliberately didn't put my dog collar on till I got to my car, because I didn't want them to know I was a vicar. So that would be very embarrassing to get caught by them every day. That wasn't loving my neighbour necessarily, was it? So I have actually failed. I haven't loved God with everything, and I haven't loved my neighbour, my friends, and other people I come into contact with as I should. Let's do a survey in the church. Let's do this side of the balcony first of all, the BBC side. How many of you think that you've loved God with everything and you've loved your neighbour this last week? Could you put a hand up if you've done that? Not one person. Let's try the organ gallery. Anybody out there? None. Let's try the St. George's gallery. How about the band? The band haven't done it. Let's try downstairs. I see one hand, but I don't think it's serious. Right. If you're somebody who knows you haven't loved God with everything you've got, and you haven't loved your neighbour, will you put your hand in the air? If you see anybody without their hand in the air, will you poke them and tell them to put their hand in the air? Every single hand, I think, up in church. You see, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbour as yourself. And Jesus says, do this and you will live. But we're in a problem, aren't we? None of us have done it. Will Carling hasn't done it. Jonah Lomu hasn't done it. Cliff Richard, Mary Curry, even Mother Teresa hasn't done it. I haven't done it. So we're in a real mess, a real problem. You see, the best people are nowhere near God's standard. They've missed it by a long way. And that's bad news for us. And it was bad news for the teacher of the law. He was trapped into admitting his own failure and the insincerity of his first question. And therefore he tried to justify himself by raising a point of interpretation. Verse 29 says this: but the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" You see, Diane, it was just a clever debate, wasn't it? I hope your hands aren't getting too tired. It was a clever debate. There was no seriousness to it. And Jesus tells a story. He tells a story, girls and boys, about a man going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And that was a very steep descent and very fast, because Jerusalem was at 2,500 feet above sea level. And Jericho was 770 feet below. And in just 17 miles, the road went down to 770 feet below sea level. Now let's ask the girls and boys, what happened to the man in the story? In the story Jesus told. Let's ask somebody who hasn't answered yet. Nothing happened. Something did happen. Yes, thank you. A man was robbed, wasn't he? A man was robbed on that road. What did they do to him, yes? They beat him up, didn't they? There he was. He was walking down the road. There was lots of caves, lots of ledges, lots of dark corners, all rather frightening. And that poor man, suddenly, he was whacked across the head by a robber or robbers. And what did they do? They stole what from him? Yes. They stole not just money and things, they stole his clothes. They left him there naked. That must have been very cold, a bit embarrassing as well. Everything was taken from him. And they left him, as the Bible says, half dead. It was a very frightening road to go down, full of shadows, and he was attacked. You see, there are lots of places for robbers to hide. And do you know what they called that road? They didn't call it the M1 or the A40. Or the Jericho Arterial Road. No, they called it the Bloody Way, because so many people lost their lives there. There were so many people who were attacked. It was a very difficult road. And then a number of people come down the road. Who comes down the road first of all? A priest, thank you very much. A priest comes down the road. He would be somebody who'd been to Jerusalem to be involved in the work at the temple activities. But then he sees what he thinks is probably a body. And of course, if you touched a body in those days, you were unclean. But of course, it was no excuse, because that man had finished his religious duties, and therefore it wouldn't matter if he'd helped that poor, unfortunate man. Indeed, the Old Testament law said you should love your enemy and the stranger. But that man doesn't want to get involved. What does he do? What does a priest do? Anybody want to tell me? He does nothing. Thank you very much indeed. Good answer. He does absolutely nothing. He passes by on the other side of the road. And then there's another character. Now, what's he called? See? Yes. He was called a Levite. Now, some of you might think it was because he wore a certain kind of jeans. But no, it wasn't that. No, a Levite was one of the helpers of the priest, and he was no better. What did the Levite do? Let's ask someone in the band. Janet, tell us what the Levite did. He did absolutely nothing, thank you very much. He passed by on the other side. And then there was somebody else. Who was the third person to come down? Let's have somebody else who doesn't answer the question. Yes. A Samaritan. Well done. Thank you very much indeed. A Samaritan came down the road. And you know, the Jews and the Samaritans weren't very friendly. They always tried to avoid each other. In fact, the man at the end of the story won't even use the word Samaritan, because he was so aware that there was enmity and problems between them. You see, the Jews saw the Samaritans as semi-pagans. They built their own temple at Mount Gerizim. Indeed, once they'd thrown dead bones into the temple at Jerusalem to try and defile it. So they weren't very popular between each other. They didn't like each other. They hated each other. But what does the Samaritan do? Somebody tell me what the Samaritan does. Thank you. He helped him. Now, how did he help him? By taking him somewhere. That's right. So he put him on what kind of animal? A donkey. Well done. So he got on his own donkey. He lifted that man, put him on the donkey. Once he'd done what? What had he done? That poor man, remember, he'd been whacked with various things. What do you think he was in need of? Yes. He needed help. What sort of help did he need? Yes. To be bandaged up. Thank you very much. And so what happens? The man takes some oil and some wine, and he uses it as disinfectant to clean the man's wounds where he's bleeding and bruised, and he helps him in that way. What else does he do? Where does he take him to? Somebody said he helped him, but where does he take him to? Yes. An inn, thank you very much. He takes him to an inn or a kind of hospital to look after him. And how much money does he give the innkeeper? Can anybody remember? How many silver coins? Yes. How many? Who knows? Let's ask you. How many silver coins? Not four, a bit less than that. Yes. Two silver coins. And do you know, two silver coins in those days would mean you could be looked after for 24 days. So it was very generous. And the Samaritan says, look, if you need any more, I will give you some more money when I return to look after this man. You see, the whole thing began with a clever debate. But Jesus' story reminds us who our neighbour is. Now, Diane, have another bit of paper to rest your arm. Thank you. And Jesus reminds us not just about a clever debate, which wasn't really going anywhere, but also about a clear duty. This is what Jesus says. Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus says, look, go and do thou likewise. You see, there's a clear duty when somebody's in need to help them. Now, what does that say to you and I today? I've got two things for you to think about as you go home this morning. The first is that you and I, we must not limit love. We must not limit love. You see, that's what that story reminds us. Whatever the national barriers, whatever the social barriers, however dangerous it is, we must not limit love. No, we need to help anybody who's in need. Anybody with a problem is my neighbour. So what might it mean for girls and boys this morning? Perhaps there's somebody next week in the playground at school who is left out of the game. You see, they're your neighbour, and you need to make sure they're invited into the game to join in. Or how about saying sorry when you're horrible to someone? But what might it mean to the adults? Let's ask Pia. She's always wide awake. Pia, what might it mean for you? Shout out to me what it might mean. Not limiting love. What difference might it make for you in the hospital next week? Right. Doing his best, looking after his patients to the best of his ability, which might mean when the phone goes in the middle of the night, that he actually gets out of bed, despite the new baby keeping him awake all night, and he goes to the hospital to care for his patients. See, we must not limit love. But also, come back, would you? Look at that ladder, girls and boys, ladies and gentlemen. You see, there are all those people. They're all good in different ways. Mother Teresa, Mary Curry, Cliff Richard, Jonah Lomu, Will Carling, and yet there's a big gap in the middle, isn't there? None of us can reach God's standards. And Jesus said, look, do this, love your neighbour, love God with all you've got, and you will live. But not one of us has done that. But let me tell you about somebody who has loved without ever not loving people. He's always been sacrificial in his love, loved as he was commanded to. And that was the Lord Jesus. Jesus did live like this. He loved God and he loved his neighbour. And the Lord Jesus died for my sin and your sin on the cross. He paid on the nail so you and I could be forgiven. Do you know that lovely verse in the Old Testament? All we like sheep have gone astray. You see, sheep wander off, they're stupid, they get lost. And you and I are just like that. We go our own way. But the Bible, Isaiah 53, says, all we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has laid on him, that's Jesus, the sin of us all. You see, we can't limit love, but we have, and we can't make it on our own. But the wonderful thing is that when we couldn't make it on our own, the Lord Jesus Christ has come and rescued and saved us. Do this and you will live. Well, yes, we are to try and do that, but we've all failed, and therefore we need Jesus' forgiveness and his fresh start. Let's pray together. Let's put our hands together, girls and boys, and be very quiet and close our eyes. Our Heavenly Father, we would confess that each of us are exactly the same as those names on the stepladder. We've all failed. None of us have lived up to your standards. We haven't loved you with everything. We haven't loved our neighbour as ourselves. And yet, Lord Jesus, you said that we needed to do that to live. and yet we can't. And so we want to thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ had the sin of us laid on him so we might go free. May each of us know that forgiveness for ourselves. And may we, as your followers this week, try and love those round about us and to love you with everything we've got. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.